Well, good morning. I'm Pastor JP. Thanks so much for being here at Crossline. And those of you watching online and on our patio and folks down in the chapel, thanks for being with us this morning. As Pastor Taylor shared, we are in a series. It's kind of a foundational series and yet a super important series about living as followers of Jesus Christ, because we established at the beginning that God has a great plan for our lives. He has a great plan for people's lives in general. He created us to know Him and to live forever with Him. And His design for us who come into a relationship with Christ is to make us more and more like Christ. The Bible actually says in Romans chapter 8 that God predestined us to become conformed to the image of His Son so that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So God's plan is that He chose us and preordained and designed us to actually become more and more like Christ. And so for every one of us who have received that good news message of the gospel, we put our faith in Jesus Christ. As we talk about here at Crossline, we cross the line and trusted in Christ for our salvation. That first step is the beginning of a life of steps of becoming more and more like Christ. And this series is looking at the marks of people who are in that process. What are the characteristics of people who are growing followers of Jesus? Because the Bible actually describes it that way. If we're going to become more and more like Jesus, it's kind of intuitive to believe that we would be demonstrating the life of Jesus increasingly in our lives. If I told you that I had discovered the healthiest, most perfect diet, and that I was practicing it and was actually working, what would you expect to see in me? Results. Yeah, you'd see the result of me actually losing some weight, right? So if we profess to be people who have come to know the Savior of the world, the Messiah, the Lord of life, Jesus Christ, and we profess that we have come to know Him and we believe in Him and He has changed our lives, then you would expect to see life change. And so the Bible talks about what those life changes actually are. We've been unpacking them. And in fact, the one that we're going to look at today might be even overarching in its description. It's basically the Bible says that followers of Jesus, growing followers of Jesus, increasingly bear His fruit. Increasingly bear fruit. That's what the Bible says. You will know them by their fruit. In fact, there's so many verses on this. It's kind of interesting when you begin a study. If you do more in-depth Bible study, you might use some tools. One of them is BibleGateway.com. It's a very simple tool. You can download it, and you can look up Bible verses in different translations, and you can look up key words and key verses and do cross-referencing. So just at the beginning of most of my studies, I like to do that. I just typed in fruit, and all the verses in the Bible came up. And some of them were describing like real fruit, you know, like fruit from a tree or fruit from a vine. But the vast majority of them were describing fruit as in the character demonstrations, the lifestyle demonstrations, the results of Jesus in us changing us. There are so many Bible passages that describe that. This is an intuitive understanding that I think every one of us has. If we are growing followers of Jesus, we will demonstrate the results of that in our life. Can I hear an amen? Yeah. Amen. So, why is that not happening for all of us? Why is that not taking root and transforming us and being realized in an increasing measure for all of us? Well, there's a lot of reasons, and the Bible unpacks some of those reasons. What we're going to look at in this discussion is an overview. I'm going to try to make some biblical observations and then apply them to our lives so that every one of us here, every one of us online might be fruitful as Jesus described that we actually would be when we were in a connected relationship with Him. So here's my first observation. Fruit is the outward expression of the inner nature. Fruit is the outward expression of the inner nature. If you've been at Crossline for any amount of time, this statement probably shouldn't surprise you because I've said it many times. Because it's just a biblical observation. Matthew 3:8, John the Baptist, speaking to people who were going to come out and want to be baptized by him, said, "Produce fruit that's consistent with your repentance." In Mark 4, in the parable of the four soils, where Jesus is talking about how our hearts receive the word and the condition of your heart will indicate the results of the word once it's been received. In Mark 4, He says, and those are the ones sown with seed on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 times as much. In Romans chapter 7, where Paul is contrasting life in the flesh and life in the spirit and what God has done to unite us with Jesus Christ so that we might live in the spirit, in Romans 7, he says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, you also are put to death in regard to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. For while we're in the flesh, the sinful passions which were brought to light by the law, they were at work in the parts of our body to bear fruit for death. In Galatians chapter 5, in a familiar passage, the Apostle Paul says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then Jesus, speaking about this reality of the demonstration of his life in us, as opposed to the lack of demonstration of his life in us, said, there's no good tree that bears bad fruit. There's, on the other hand, no bad tree that bears good fruit, for each tree is known by its own fruit. For people do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. Fruit is the outward expression of the inner nature. Fruit is the outward expression of the inner nature. So if you will see an apple tree, you will know it's an apple tree because what's hanging on it? Apples. If you were to observe an orange tree, you know it's an orange tree because what's hanging on it? Oranges. If you were to observe a lemon tree, which we have a lot around here, my neighbor across the street in his backyard has a tree that is just loaded with these yellow, ripe lemons. And in my keen observation, I deduce it is a lemon tree. Because fruit's the outward representation of inner nature. I've actually even shared this story with you before because this is such a consistent biblical teaching. I talked to you about going to Haiti and being in Haiti at a pastor's conference in Haiti, using this biblical teaching and using an illustration that was unique to Haiti. I'm talking with a room full of about 250 pastors, and I said, look out at that tree. I'm not from Haiti. I don't know a whole lot about Haiti. I don't know a whole lot about agriculture, but I can tell you that tree out there is a mango tree because you know what's hanging on it? Mangoes. Fruit is the outward demonstration of the inward nature. So in other words, what's going on inside of you is going to be expressed out of you. That's what the Bible says. What's going on inside of you is going to be expressed out of you. Fruit cannot be contrary to the nature. Fruit cannot be contrary to the nature. A pear tree will not produce lemons, and a lemon tree will not produce pears. A bad tree cannot produce good fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit. This is what Jesus is teaching. It's what all these scriptures teach. So what's going on inside gets produced on the outside. That's why Romans 7 now, verses 4 to 6 that I read to you, becomes pretty important. Also Galatians 5, verses 16 to 25 become pretty important because they're two passages that are contrasting life in the flesh and life in the spirit. And they both say, if you're living in the flesh and what's going on inside of you is fleshliness, you know what's going to come out of you? Fleshliness. On the other hand, if you're living in the spirit and inside of you, the spirit is alive and working, what's going to come out? The fruit of the spirit. Whatever's percolating on the inside, going to get expressed on the outside. Now, if you're a follower of Jesus, you've been born again spiritually, Jesus has come into your life, you have a new nature by salvation. But is that new nature being cultivated and growing and developing and being realized through seeking of Jesus, abiding in Jesus, meditating on Jesus, walking in the Spirit, you see? Because if that's the case, you know what's going to come out? The fruit of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of Jesus. On the other hand, you could have the new nature of Jesus by virtue of salvation, but if that's not being cultivated, if that's not being developed, if that's not what's really going on in the side of you, what's going to come out is what's going on the inside. anger, malice, wrath, slander, abusive speech, immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed. See, these are all descriptors that the Bible uses in various places of the fruit of the flesh, as opposed to love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, which is the fruit of the Spirit. Either way, fruit is the outward expression of the inner nature. What's going on inside of you gets expressed out of you. So now the words of Jesus become really important, because he says a bad tree cannot produce good fruit and a good tree cannot produce good fruit. You'll know them by the fruits. So he's speaking about us as followers of Jesus. You'll know them by their fruits. So if we got Jesus on the inside and Jesus is real and alive and filling up the inside of our life, what's going to be happening on the outside is Jesus. It's going to be demonstrated. You'll see it. So now this big idea makes a whole lot of sense. Growing followers of Jesus, what's a mark of a growing follower of Jesus? They increasingly bear fruit. Of course. Of course. Second observation, I just said it. Growing followers of Jesus bear Jesus' fruit. Now the key passage for understanding this is John chapter 15, because this is what Jesus taught in John chapter 15. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to me and to my disciples. If you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you would go and bear fruit, and that if your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. So Jesus uses this great illustration of a vine and branches and fruit. And in his context, he's talking about grapevines. And there's the main vine of which the branches are all connected, and there's the fruit that's hanging from the branches. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches, I produce the fruit, you bear the fruit. When a branch is really connected to the vine, it bears fruit. If a branch is disconnected from the vine, it can't bear any fruit, because all the fruit-bearing resources come from the vine, and then the branch bears the fruit. So in this illustration, and in the context of this illustration, which is John chapter 14, so you got John 14, 15, and 16, teaching, Jesus is basically saying, we're in Jesus and Jesus is in us. That's the great descriptor of a Christian. A Christian isn't someone who goes to church, though Christians should go to church. A Christian isn't someone who believes a certain biblical theology, though Christians should believe biblical theology. A Christian isn't someone who just lives a certain moral life, though Christians should live a moral life. Christians are people who are in Christ and Christ is in them. They are in Christ and Christ is in them. And so Jesus is describing this relationship of being in Christ and having Christ in us by talking about a vine and branches and fruit. Our inner nature as followers of Jesus, it's been transformed so that we can bear the fruit of our new nature. The more we are connected to Jesus and being renewed to be like Jesus, the more our inner self and our outer self reflects Jesus. The more we're connected to Jesus and being renewed to be like Jesus, the more our inner self and our outer self reflects Jesus. Paul put it this way in Colossians chapter 3. He says, you put on the new self who's being renewed in a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. It's a renewal in which there's no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian and Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. And in the Greek, all means all. Christ is all and in all. And I love the way the Apostle Paul put this, because this is so timely to our culture. And I'm not going to get down a rabbit hole, but let me just tell you, when it says there's no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, in a culture that tries to reduce everything down to identity politics and what class you're in and what group you're in, the Bible says we are one in Christ. And Christ is all and in all. Christ is all and in all. Christ is all and in all. It's a renewal to Jesus. Not a renewal to a denomination, not a renewal to a creed, not a renewal to a church, not a renewal to some human leader. It's a renewal to Jesus, to become more and more like Jesus, to be grounded more and more in Jesus, to exhibit more and more the life of Jesus, to experience more and more the life of Jesus. So the more you get Jesus fully integrated into your inner structure, the more fruit of Jesus will be demonstrated in your life. The more you get Jesus fully integrated into your inner structure, the more the fruit of Jesus will be demonstrated in your life. So, if you're not abiding, there's no fruit. If there's a little abiding, there's a little fruit. If there's a lot abiding, there's much remaining fruit. Now, I'm going to say something here that if this doesn't get you excited, then you either don't have a pulse or you got no interest in spiritual transformation. John 15:16, Jesus says this, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain." Jesus chose us and appointed us to bear fruit. This is our God-ordained destiny. God has ordained us to bear fruit. Jesus, in fact, uses two words, "I chose you and I appointed you." And they're both in what's known as the middle voice in Greek. And as my son, who is taking New Testament Greek in seminary, will tell you, the middle voice has this idea of a reflexive action. So when it says, "I chose you," you can read, "I chose you for myself." When it says, "I ordained you," it's, "I ordained you for myself." God chose you and ordained you for himself to go and bear fruit. So when you pray for fruit, when you seek to be fruitful, you are fulfilling your God-ordained destiny. God wants you to be fruitful. In fact, God wants us to be more fruitful than we want to be fruitful. He chose us for this very purpose. He ordained us for this very purpose. When we walk in an abiding relationship with Jesus, when Jesus is real in us, and we're demonstrating to the world that Jesus is real. They can see it. They can hear it in the way we speak. They pick it up in our attitudes. They see it in what we do and what we don't do. We're fulfilling our destiny. God chose us and ordained us to bear fruit and that our fruit would remain. We recently went through the NFL draft. If you follow football, you know this happened. So, you know, all the college guys going into NFL, they had a big draft, and they chose them. Different teams picked different players. Now, did they pick them to play softball? Did they pick them to just sit around on their behinds and do nothing? No, they chose those players to do what? To play football. God chose us, ordained us to go and bear fruit. You've been chosen by God to bear fruit. You've been chosen by God to bear fruit. You've been chosen by God to bear fruit. Isn't that good? So when you pray for fruit in your life and you intentionally seek to be fruitful, you're living according to purpose. You're living according to destiny. You're living according to God's chosen and appointed plan for your life. God chose us to bear fruit. Well, what kind of fruit did he choose and appoint us to bear? Well, it's really interesting, you know. You learn about the Bible when you study the Bible. When you study all these passages about fruit, in the New Testament in particular, you get a picture. It starts to emerge. The fruit that is the demonstration of Jesus in our life, because it's Christ in all and Christ is all, but the fruit of Jesus breaks down into three areas. There's the fruit of the character and attitudes of Jesus. That's like the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So when we're abiding in Jesus and we're fulfilling our destiny, which is bearing fruit, it means we increasingly have the character and attitude of Jesus in our life. That's fruit. Another category is doing good works in Jesus' name. Whether it's our work, doing our work heartily for the Lord, Colossians chapter 3, or it's demonstrating it, the life of Jesus through our good works, to Matthew chapter 5, let your light shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It's just doing things as a follower of Jesus in Jesus' name. And it reflects Jesus. You know, because there's some things that we do as followers of Jesus because we want other people to become followers of Jesus, right? We do them intentionally for outreach and for evangelism. We do things because we want to influence other people's lives to follow Jesus. Then there's other things that we do just because we're followers of Jesus. Followers of Jesus are to live a distinct kind of life. And when we do what we do in the name of Jesus, that's fruit. And then the third category is bearing the fruit of Jesus. That's influencing other people's lives so that they become followers of Jesus. See, that's evangelism. That's discipleship. That's multiplying the life of Jesus into somebody else. And there's a lot of passages in the Bible that talk about that. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, I want to come to you in Rome that I might bear fruit. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for salvation to all who believe. See, Paul wanted to come to Rome to bear the fruit. What kind of fruit? Leading people to Jesus. So when we abide in Jesus, he's chosen us and appointed us to go bear fruit. What kind of fruit? Well, the character and attitude of Jesus, doing good works in Jesus' name, and sharing the gospel and leading other people to Jesus. All of that is fruit. And Jesus, by the way, has chosen you and appointed you to go bear that kind of fruit. So when you pray for that, and when you intentionally seek after that, you are aligning your life with your God-ordained purpose and destiny. And Jesus says, if you abide in me, you will bear fruit. Now here's a third observation. There are seasons of fruitfulness. There are seasons of fruitfulness. Psalm 1 says this, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. You see, if we are growing followers of Jesus, if we're being transformed into his likeness, the overall course of our life will be fruitfulness. But within the course of our life, there are seasons of fruit bearing and seasons of fruit development. What do I mean by that? Well, the illustration of a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Do any of you, just show of hands, any of you have on your yard or at some point in your life have a fruit tree? Is it consistently, all the time, throughout the year, without variation, bearing fruit, bearing fruit, bearing fruit, bearing fruit, bearing fruit, bearing fruit? Or are there times when there isn't fruit, but something's going on inside of it, and then there are times when there's a lot of fruit? So I told you, my neighbor has this tree across in the backyard. It's right now loaded with lemons, but it doesn't look like that 24/7, 365 days of the year. I've got a tree that I've planted on my side yard. I planted a lemon tree, an orange tree, and a peach tree. And I just planted it, but last year I got 11 peaches out of it. Well, it doesn't look like it's even alive right now. But just wait, in the next couple of months, leaves are gonna start coming out on it. And come August, you know what's gonna be on that tree? Peaches, because it's a peach tree. But right now is not the season of fruitfulness. Peaches, August, September, you get a lot of peaches. There are seasons in our life of fruitfulness and seasons that apparently don't look that fruitful, but they are. They're just God's doing something on the inside so that what's on the inside can what? Come out on the outside, because fruit is the demonstration of what's going on the inside. So see, there's a really important principle here for us to understand that in the course of our life, there are seasons. There was a season in Jesus' life when he was in the wilderness. And then he came out and began his public ministry. There was a season in the Apostle Paul's life when he was in Arabia and no one ever heard of him. And then he came out and preached the gospel and taught the word and pastored churches and wrote New Testament letters. And you see, there are seasons in the life of followers who are growing with Jesus. Seasons when there is much fruit, and seasons where it may not look like it, but it's that God's doing something else to prepare us to bear fruit. I mean, if you've ever seen an orchard, here in Southern California, where I grew up when I was a kid up in Ventura, there was a lemon orchard literally right across from our house. Orange County has its name Orange County because at one time what was all over this county were orange orchards. Now, in an orchard where you just have a lot of trees of the same kind bearing the same kind of fruit, let's just suppose there's an orchard that's fruitful, and even within that orchard, there's a tree that bears the most fruit of all the trees in that orchard. So that tree bears the most fruit of fruit-bearing trees that consistently bear fruit, but does that tree bear fruit all the time? No, because there's a season of fruitfulness. Do you see what I'm trying to say? So among us here, you may be the most fruitful follower of Jesus in our congregation. But just in the economy of God is how God has planned things. You won't always be bearing the same kind of fruit all the time, and even the same level of fruit all the time, because there's seasons. Do you pick? If you get me, say, yeah, shake your head. I get what you're saying. Okay, now, is that an excuse to not be fruitful? No. It's just acknowledging a reality that may free you up, by the way, because you may be in a season right now where you've thought, gosh, in times, there were other times in my life where I seemed like I was bearing more fruit for God. What's going on? Is God done with me? No. He's working something in you. And according to Philippians chapter 2, when God works something in, you know what we need to do? Work it out. And then that's where fruit is. See, because we work out what God works in. That's the fruitful life. We work out what God works in. On the other hand, right now, for some of you, maybe the most fruitful season of your life. I mean, just up to this point, it's just God is just, why? Because he chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, which, by the way, you know what the second part of that verse says, which I told you, this should get you excited. You did not choose me, I chose you. This is what Jesus says. And I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain, next part, that whatever you ask in my name, I will give to you. Whoa! Jesus chose us, he appointed us to bear fruit, fruit that will remain, and to pray prayers that just hit the ceiling and bounce back down. No! To pray prayers that get answered. And right now, this may be a very fruitful season of your life in all of the above, and it may not be. But if it's not, it's because God's working something in you. But this is not an excuse to say, I'm just not fruitful. See, because if there's no fruit, ever, John 15 says, you're a branch that gets gathered up in the fire and burned. See, even among Jesus' disciples, there was Judas, who had no real connection, looked like he did, but he didn't. In any given church, there are Judas followers. That doesn't mean they live like Judas. It just means they're really not connected to Jesus. It's a surface appearance connection, but no real connection. And how do you know that there's no real connection? There's never any fruit. Real disciples of Jesus bear fruit. That's his bottom line. I'm not making that up. That's not, ooh, Pastor JP is giving a very controversial teaching. That's just all over the Bible. And it's just intuitive. If you're becoming more and more like Jesus, you'll see it. It's demonstrated. That's what fruit is, the demonstration of Jesus in our life, because Christ is all and is in all. But there are seasons of fruitfulness. Here's a fourth observation. Jesus's part is to produce fruit, and our part is to abide and bear fruit. Jesus's part is to produce fruit, and our part is to abide and bear fruit. Again, John chapter 15, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch, he dries up, they gather them in the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father's loved me, I've also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. Here's the point in this whole illustration where Jesus is talking about what a real Christian is. It's, you know, we're in Jesus and Jesus is in us. We're in Jesus and Jesus is in us. Jesus is the vine and there are believers who are the branches. Jesus is the vine, there are believers who are the branches. The vine produces the fruit and the branch bears the fruit. The vine produces the fruit and the branch bears the fruit. Pastor Taylor, would you give me my illustration here? Thank you very much. This is a branch. What's the likelihood that this branch will bear fruit? Now, why? There's no connection, not abiding in the vine, right? Now, if I really wanted this branch to look fruitful, I could try gluing some fruit on it. And maybe I could fool you, but someone who is an expert at horticulture, there's a good word. Someone who is an expert, would they be fooled? Jesus said, I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser, the horticulturalist. So you could try gluing fruit on this branch, but it ain't gonna fool the Father. This branch cannot bear fruit because God didn't design branches to produce fruit, but to bear fruit. And for branches to bear fruit, they gotta be connected into the vine. There are some people in some churches that aren't connected to Jesus, but they got fruit glued on them. That's not what the Bible's talking about. That's not Christianity. And if you've been exposed to that kind of stuff, that's fake, that's false, that's religion. That's not what God wants. God doesn't want a bunch of people trying to look fruitful. He wants people abiding in Jesus. Because Christ is all and in all. He wants people connected to Jesus, having a vibrant connection to Jesus. So connected to Jesus that what is Jesus doing? Producing fruit through their lives. Producing fruit through their lives. There's got to be a vital connection to Jesus for fruit to be produced. Because Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. We were talking about this in our pastor's collab as we kind of every week kind of get together and look at the passage and talk about what God is saying and what we want to share with our people. And I think it was Pastor Jordan who shared, you know, it's interesting because Southern California is known really worldwide for its fruit production, all these orchards. But do you know what we don't have in Southern California that we got to get from somewhere else so that we can grow anything? Water. You know what you, me, all of us as human beings don't have, but we've got to get from somewhere else in order to bear fruit. Jesus, the only way we can demonstrate the fruit of Jesus is to be connected to Jesus. Growing followers of Jesus are connected to Jesus, therefore they bear the fruit of Jesus. They're connected to Jesus and they bear the fruit of Jesus. That's what abiding is all about. So I come to my last observation here on this teaching, looking at these scriptures. Abiding is not passive, but engaging. Abiding is not passive, but engaging. So you might think it's passive because you think, okay, all the branch just has to connect to the vine and then the vine produces through the branch fruit. So abiding, therefore, must just be some kind of passive, okay, I'm letting go and I'm letting God, and whatever he wants to produce fruit, he can. It's up to him, it's not up to me, so don't blame me if there's no fruit. It's not passive, it's engaging. Remember last week when I talked about abiding in God's word, I unpacked what the whole idea of abiding is, and I used that illustration of snorkeling versus scuba diving. You know, you can snorkel on the top of the water and look down, and it's kind of cool. But if you want to fully understand all that's going on under the water, you put on scuba gear and you immerse yourself fully in the water. They're fully immersed in the water. Just like you can snorkel with the Word of God versus scuba with the Word of God, you can snorkel with Jesus versus scuba with Jesus because it's the same word, abide. In fact, this word abide is used in the imperative sense. In other words, what we are responsible to as believers, we're to abide in the Word, we're to abide in Jesus, we're to abide in God's love. Those are the three ways it's used. And they basically all mean the same thing. Fully immerse yourself. So abiding's not passive, it's fully engaging. It's a full engagement of our lives with Jesus. That's abiding. And John, who must love this term because we're looking at John's gospel, John chapter 15, and Jesus taught these things. It must have so impressed John because in John's writing over in the book of 1 John, he uses this idea of abiding again. He picked up on it now. And he says in 1 John 2:6, the one who says he abides in Jesus, he abides in him, he ought himself to walk in the same manner he walked. So, if you say I really abide in Jesus, you demonstrate it by living just like Jesus. You walk in the same way Jesus walked. Well, how did Jesus walk? On multiple occasions, Jesus said, I can do nothing unless I see the Father doing it. The words I speak are my words, they're the words of the Father. My works are my works, they're the works of the Father. So Jesus, how did he live? He abode in the Father. He was abiding in the Father. And in fact, Jesus actually said on multiple occasions, the Father's in me, and I in him, and I am you. I'm in the Father, the Father's in me, and I'm in you. I'm in the Father, the Father's in me, and I'm in you. I'm in the Father's in me, and I'm in you. And so what do we say? I'm in Jesus, and Jesus is in me. We live like Jesus. And it's an active life. It's an engaging life. It's not a passive life. It's full of rest because it's not our works. It's the work of Jesus. But it's rest that's expressed in engagement. God's working in me and I'm working out what God's working in. God's working in me and I'm working out what God's working in me. It's we work out what God works in. And in fact, there's a great passage that illustrates this whole idea in 2 Peter 1. Listen to the language. It's a little different, but it has the same idea. 2 Peter chapter 1 says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. And for by these he's granted us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature and escape the corruption that's the world by lust. Now, for this very reason, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, They render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been talking about fruit, abiding and bearing fruit. The Greek word for fruit is karpos. This word is akarpos. The alpha is presented there, unfruitful. So in effect, this is what 2 Peter says. You want to be fruitful? You want to be fruitful? Then apply all diligence in your faith and supply to your faith these virtues of Jesus. See, it's not passive. It's active. It's engaging. It kind of sounds like a paradox. You know, a paradox is something that's true, but it seems contradictory, but it's actually true. So what's true? Only Jesus can produce fruit. What's also true? We should do all we can to be fruitful. Wait a minute, what? Only Jesus can produce fruit. We should do all we can to be fruitful. We are to add to our faith, add to our faith, add to our faith, add to our faith. Well, how do you do that and it not be works? You rest in Jesus alone. You abide in Jesus alone. You fully understand only Jesus can produce fruit, but Jesus produces fruit as I actively seek him, actively pray to him, actively get into his word, actively live an obedient life, actively seek to share my faith, actively seek to do good works, actively seek to serve others. But I do it abiding in Jesus, trusting only in Jesus, receiving all of my life supply from Jesus, because I'm a branch, not on my own trying to be fruitful. No, I'm connecting into Jesus. So his life connects into me. Christ is all and in all. It's all about Jesus Christ. But the abiding life isn't snorkeling at the top. It's not floating. It's fully immersing yourself with all the scuba gear. It's going deep with Jesus. It's fully engaging with Jesus. It's applying and supplying everything you need to reflect Jesus. When I was in seminary doing my master's work, I had a class called The Theology of Christian Nurture. So it was all that the Bible teaches about growing up in Christ. Sounds like a great class. At the beginning of class, the professor gave every one of us a plant, a little plant. Now, I may not be the sharpest theologian around, but I knew what he was doing. He was gonna say, okay, you gotta take care of that plant, because at the end of class, we had to bring it back, right? And I knew, it was kind of like, oh, it's an object lesson. That if you have a plant, you gotta water it, you gotta take care of it. And it'll grow. If you don't, it won't. And that's the same way with us spiritually. New life has been planted into us through Jesus. You got to cultivate that. You got to nurture that. You got to grow that. If you don't, there won't be the manifestation of the new life. I mean, I understood that before we even got into the class. Now, I took that plant. I put it above my sink. And I completely forgot about it. My plant died. And I gotta tell you, I was actually tempted at one point to go, oh God, I don't wanna bring that back. My plant's dead. Everybody's gonna laugh at me. I actually thought about going to Home Depot and buying the exact same plant so I wouldn't have to face the humiliation of killing my plant. Like it's the metaphor for killing my spiritual life or something, you know. But I didn't. I brought it back. And I wasn't the only one. And it was interesting, we all kind of laughed, but here was the point. Even though we knew the purpose of the object lesson, and even though we knew if we didn't take care of our plant, it would die, you know what some of us didn't do? Take care of the plant. I think every one of us here gets the point of what I've been teaching from God's word. If you don't abide in Jesus, there isn't gonna be any fruit. And fruit is what demonstrates that you are a growing follower of Jesus. But don't kill your plant. Take care of it. Take care of your spiritual life. In fact, I think that's what Jesus would say. Just take care of your spiritual life. Engage with me. Abide in me. Trust me. Seek me. Get into my word. Hang out with my people. Do the things I've told you to do. Receive my spiritual life so that you can grow and flourish and bear fruit, much fruit. Fruit that will remain. If you're like me, your heart probably is embodied in this prayer to abide in Jesus and bear fruit. Jesus, I love you. I want to be fully connected and abide in you. I forsake all other sources and immerse myself fully in you. Empower me, live in me and through me. Produce your fruit in my life. I commit myself to be actively abiding and to be seeking after you and your fruit. I commit myself to add to my faith and to work out everything you work in. As a doer of your word, I will shine your light, walk in your steps, bear your fruit. If that's your heart's desire, then I invite you to pray this with me right now as an expression of your faith and seeking after Jesus. So, if this is what the Holy Spirit's leading you to do, I invite you to do it boldly right now. Say it with me. Jesus, I love you and want to be fully connected and abide in you. I forsake all other sources and immerse myself fully in you. Empower me, live in me and through me. Produce your fruit in my life. I commit myself to actively abide and to seek after you and your fruit. I commit myself to add to my faith and work out everything you work in. As a doer of your word, I will shine your light, walk in your steps, and bear your fruit. In Jesus' name, amen.